Ephesians 5. And for now, I'm just going to read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible has much to say to help our homes. There's this passage here that finishes chapter 5 and opens chapter 6, tells us the various responsibilities of husband and wife, mom and dad, and even the children. If you've read through the whole Bible, you know that it gives many examples, many, many examples of praying moms and godly dads. In fact, there are almost 700 references to marriage in the Bible. So if you'll read your Bible, you'll find the instructions you need for your home. You'll find pictures and you'll find warnings and all that you need. I read to us a great text. Here's a key to having a Christian home. And I trust that's uppermost in your prayers and desire today to have a Christian home. And that key is simply the love of Christ. Husbands love as Christ loved, it says. That's a pretty high standard. That's the highest possible standard. The love of Christ operating in our hearts. So this brings Jesus right into the home circle. You see, if we're not Christians at home, we're not really Christians at all. The home is the foundation, isn't it? And the Bible here is not just telling the husband to love his wife with the love of Christ, but by extension, every member of the family is to love each other with the love of Christ, to love one another as Christ has loved them all. We know that. Sometimes we fail to practice that. What would home be without love? What would marriage be without love? There's got to be not just affection, but where there's love, there'll be mercy. Where there's love, there'll be some patience. Where there's love, there'll be some forgiveness. And you'll need it in your home because marriage is the uniting of two imperfect people. And to your last day, you're still imperfect. And that's why God gave you eyelids as well as eyes. Because you're two imperfect people. It's going to take more than emotion and infatuation. If the love is not what it needs to be, there'll be a whole lot of fault finding, nagging, strife, resentment. I'm just saying it's going to take the love of Christ, your love for Him and His love for you, working in your heart to have a Christian home. Now there it is in the Bible, husbands love as Christ loved. Now how did He love? Well, He loved unconditionally, didn't He? Sacrificially. Jesus loved His church to the fullest possible measure, to the uttermost, without reserve, and even unto death. So the love of Christ is the level on which you operate in your home. This will establish the spirit of the home. If the love of Christ is permeating and elevating the home, it'll prevent a lot of problems in the first place. And it'll correct every attitude of self-importance. It's hard to be boastful and proud. It's hard to be carnal when the love of Christ is mastering your heart. The love of Christ is the key to politeness in your home too. Cheerfulness. Isn't it amazing how we're nice to everybody away from home and then we get home and it's almost like something switches off and we feel like sometimes we can be mean as the devil. Some of you look guilty. The love of Christ ought to provide that desire in our hearts to help, to serve, amen, to encourage. And if you don't have manners, you ain't much. And courage as well. It's a love that never breaks down, never gives up, never grows careless. The love of God, the very love of God. It doesn't say, husbands, love your wife if she does this or when she does that. But with the love of Christ that never stops and never tears down, but perseveres to the end. And there's the secret. If you want your wife to reverence you and honor you, sir, you be honorable, and she won't have any problem with her part. If you're loving her with the love of God, she'll be glad to do her part. There'll be no question. One man said to his wife, I was reading the Bible, he said, and I found out where Sarah called Abraham Lord. And he said to his wife, I want you to call me Lord. She said, sure. As soon as you start living like Abraham, I'm going to call you Lord. That's fair enough, amen? That's fair enough. Some things you can't demand. So the love of Christ is the power of our homes and the motivator. And enables you to live for somebody else's welfare. To commit. Love is a commitment. Agape is a selfless, sacrificial commitment to somebody else's welfare. We don't have that naturally. Now, you're not going to be what you need to be in your family without divine help. Amen. Far too easy to be selfish and self-willed. You're going to need some help there. And real love does not ask, what can you do for me? Real love does not ask, how little can I do for you? But how much can I do for you? That's love. This world says, take. But the Word of God is telling us to give. You see, love is extravagant. Love does not count the price. Love does not hesitate and say, I can't do that. I'd have to totally deny myself to do. No, love is extravagant. If you don't believe it, take a look at Mary saving up her money for a whole year to buy that alabaster box and then breaking it and pouring it on Jesus. That's extravagant. Amen. And Judas got mad, and Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good work. She's publicly showing her love for me. She's anointing me before the burying. And anyway, Judas, you're a thief. You don't care about the money. Amen. Love's extravagant. Love knows no boundaries. Love sees everything as an opportunity to bless, to give, and to inspire. That's Christ loved. Jesus said in John 3:16, if we love, we'll give. For God so loved the world that He gave. He so loved that He gave. Jesus put the two together. You can't separate them. If you love, you'll give. If you love, you'll give. That's for every relationship in life. You may give without loving. You may give grudgingly. But if the love is right, you'll give. Amen. So how is it at the house today? Is the love of Christ present or absent? Does your wife and children wonder if you love them or not? How about the little things that are big things that really do count? Love's got to be nourished. It's got to be fed. It'll starve to death if you let it. Jesus loves His church. Look at all He does for His church. We could never deny or doubt His love, could we? How He's always cleansing, sanctifying, how He's always nourishing, cherishing, right there in that context. He loves us. Jesus, why do you do everything you do for us? I love you. Why do you do everything you do in your home, sir, for your wife, your children, your grandchildren? It ought to be, well, I'm nice to them as long as they're nice to me. And if they don't watch it, I'm going to slap them. Oh, you're a big Christian. No, you're just like the world. Amen. It ought to be the love of Christ constrains you, motivates you, empowers you, directs you. No matter what, if you're the only one being a Christian, you ought to be man enough to be a Christian in your home, no matter what. A lot of men say, well, if my wife will be a Christian, I'll follow my wife around. I think you need another trip to the altar. You might need to get saved. Amen. Is that right? That's exactly right. The answer for America's Christian men, it always has been, and it's still the answer this morning. So, do you have a Christian home, a peaceful home, a contented home? Are you loving as Christ loved? I'm just preaching the Bible right there. It is Ephesians 5:25. You can cut it out if you want to, but there it is. It says, love as Christ loved. Amen. That should be our prayer, our marching orders, our standard every day. So one day your life's going to be gone, friend. And you're going to look back and you're going to be able to say, hopefully, God willing, that your life was better, bigger, and braver because you lived it with your spouse than if you had lived it separately. Amen. And if you'll put Christ in the center of it, you'll be able to say that one day. But if not, it'll be hell on earth. You see, it's whatever you make it, isn't it? It can be a blessing, it can be a curse. It can be heaven, it can be hell. So I'm just saying, mamas and daddies and boys and girls and husbands and wives, God will help you to love with the love of Christ. You won't be causing your mom and daddy any problems if the love of Christ is operating in you. Amen. You won't be seeing how much meanness you can get into. You won't be forever undermining and criticizing your spouse if the love that sent Jesus to the cross is the same love that masters your heart. That'd be unthinkable. That'd be impossible. That'd be impossible. And if you know your Bible, and you hear me say this often because it's in the Bible often, love will take care of everything. That's why it's the greatest commandment. Amen. It covers all the bases. The Bible says it covers a multitude of sins. If you're having problems always magnifying somebody's faults, then get down on your knees and ask God for some old-fashioned Christian love, because the thicker that is, the thinner everybody's faults will be. But when your love quotient grows thin, everybody's faults grow thick. And if all you see is people's faults, you got a love problem. You just told on yourself. That's good preaching. That is me. Amen. That's the Bible. James 5, Romans 13. Love fulfills the law. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. You won't be lying on somebody if you love somebody much as you love yourself. And the golden rule, treat people like you want to be treated. Amen. You just treat people like you want to be treated. That's Jesus that said that, by the way. Luke 6:31. Like you want to be treated. So the love of Christ. You know, we ought to be Christian in everything. I'm just talking about the home environment. But if, when a man says, I'm a Christian, that means follow me around. You'll learn what Jesus is like. Amen. Like Christ. Why did they call them Christians at Antioch? Because they had a bumper sticker on their chariot? No. Because the way they lived, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was spoken in derision. You're just like that Christ. And ought to be the badge of everything we do. Amen. Our attitude ought to say, I belong to Christ. As he is, so are we, 1 John 4 says. It shouldn't take the FBI either to find out if you're a Christian. Amen. If it went to court, there ought to be enough evidence to convict you. Amen. There ought to be 100 people that would stand up and say, I'll testify for you. I know you're a Christian. I see how you act in times of trouble. I know you. I see your love for people, your forgiveness toward people, your patience. There's something about you. I'll testify for you. Amen. You ever been a character witness? I did that one time. A character witness. And there ought to be enough character witnesses for you and me that it'd be all beyond all question that you're a Christian. Amen. Are you a Christian? Who are you trying to be like? Who's your example? This text is telling us to make Christ our example in the home. I'm almost done. Wouldn't it be good if our mixed up world this morning could see what a real Christian home looks like? Some of them hadn't seen one in a long time. They're really not sure what a home looks like anymore. According to Washington, D.C., it's any definition you want to give it. Every session in Congress, they introduce bills where adults can marry children. They're pushing that. That's coming. That's coming. It's already in Europe. When you take away God's standard of a man marrying a woman, and when you throw all the rules out the window, anything goes, and they don't care, and the world would just totally love to confuse our young people so that they don't even know what a Christian home, even a secular home, looks like anymore. People ought to be able to open your front door and so walk around for an hour and say, uh-huh, so that's what a Christian home looks like. Amen. The love of Christ and mutual submission to one another. Amen. Thank God for a real Christian home. Amen. If you had a Christian home, you ought to be shouting me down today. There's so few, comparatively speaking. We need a revival that begins at the house. So the Bible says it's up to you. Deuteronomy 11 says you can have heaven on earth at your home. Do you love to go home, or is you just can't hardly stand it? We ought to thank God for the wonderful gifts of a good wife and mother. Good husband and father. Good son or daughter. Brother or sister. Please don't take that for granted. You won't always have that. And there's nothing more honorable than a Christian at home. If you'll be a Christian at home, you won't find it so hard to be a Christian everywhere else. Amen. Honorable. The Bible says the wife is to reverence her husband, to honor him. You know, if you'll be honorable, it won't be so hard to honor you. Amen. Honorable. Peter Lord is a name that's lost to this generation. He was a well-known Baptist preacher a generation or two ago. I remember when the news media went to his children. They said, "We've heard your daddy's just like Jesus. It's told everywhere, all over America, your daddy's just like Jesus." We're not going to ask him. We're not even going to ask his wife. We're going to ask y'all. We want to ask you, the children. Now you tell us the truth about daddy. And Peter Lord's children said, "Our daddy is just like Jesus." Amen. That's a grand slam right there, brother. That's a grand slam. And if your children can say, "You're the closest thing to Jesus I ever seen," you succeeded in this life. You made it. Even if you're not on the front page of tomorrow's Wall Street Journal, in the eyes of God, you made it. And if they can't say that, there's something bad wrong. Amen. There's some priority in the wrong place. There's something hindering. Hello, am I right? I wouldn't hurt you, but I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to operate a little bit. Because if daddy don't live right, there comes a day, and I could take you to a man's house. We could be there in 2 minutes. He would stand right here and tell you, I'm not going to church because my daddy is a hypocrite. That, my friend, is the ultimate failure. Please don't let that happen to you. Please. It's hard enough for the younger generation. Don't make it harder. Don't put a bad example in front of them. We're all mortal and we all fail. But you don't have to be too smart to see somebody that's real, that's consistent. That is, at least they're trying. We all fail, but at least we can try. Maybe we need to ask God for some more of that love of Christ so we can love. And if that love is there, then everything else will fall in place. And if it's not there, nothing will work. You're not going to go far on empty. And without the love of Christ, you're empty. So God help our homes today. You won't have a disrespect problem when there's the love of Christ. There will be no jealousy problems, no unfaithful problems, no careless, indifferent problems if your love is Christ loved. So I'm saying this morning, your home is preaching a message to this unbelieving world. Make sure the sermon is loud and clear. Make sure they know what a Christian home looks like. That's mama's job, but it's daddy's job mainly. God bless you. I know you carry a burden. I know many of you are wonderful examples of what I've tried to say in the last 20 minutes. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take the blessing of God upon our homes to make it. Because everything the devil's got is leveled at the home, because he knows if that's gone, there's nothing to build a church out of. It's going to take prayer. Pray for your home and don't give up. Start where you are. Take the next step. Amen. Take the next step, whatever that might be. Thank God for a Christian home. Make it happen. It ain't somebody else's job to raise your Christian home. It's your job. Amen? It's your job. Let's all